I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up next week on Only a Game, one journalist's journey from LeBron hater to LeBron lover. But right now, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The U.S. team has finally won the World Baseball Classic, having come up short in every tournament since 2006. They beat Puerto Rico 8-0 on Wednesday night in the final. So, is America great again?
You know, it's funny because all the American baseball fascists hate the World Baseball Championship. But this was a lot of fun this time around, and not just because the United States won. So I guarantee you that at least some minds will be changed on the WBC because of this victory.
I really hope so, and mine's all over because I like the Puerto Ricans all dyeing their hair, too. It was great fun. Fortune magazine has designated Theo Epstein as the world's greatest leader, although Epstein himself has acknowledged that he can't get his dog, quote, to stop peeing in the house. That makes both of my daughters better leaders than Theo Epstein, at least in the dog in the house category. What do you think about this choice?
I'm just thinking about, you know, historical evolution. Alexander the Great, Caesar Augustus, you know, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, and Theo Epstein. I mean, I understand that he brought not one but two teams to break century-old losing streaks, but wow, this is really something.
In NCAA tournament action, the women's team from Baylor beat Texas Southern 119-30 last weekend. Oh, 119-30, the most lopsided women's tournament game ever. Texas Southern head coach Janetta Hayes Perry said of her players, quote, today was about them growing because she had to say something.
Because it sure wasn't about basketball.
Or them winning.
Although we do have kind of an epic moment here. We have a women's NCAA tournament record that's not held by the University of Connecticut.
I knew you were going to mention UConn.
And the scary thing is that, like, UConn will play Baylor and win by 30.
Georgetown University fired head basketball coach John Thompson III this week after the Hoyas had failed to make the tournament three of the last four seasons. His father, John Thompson Jr., of course, was a previous head coach there. Maybe there's a John Thompson IV who can step in and get Georgetown back on track.
Well, I'm sure there is, but this is kind of an important moment, actually, in college basketball. This is a break between the Thompson family and Georgetown University, which, of course, has had a relationship with that family going, a successful one, I might add, going back 30 years. What did in John Thompson III more than not making the tournament, I think, was that players were starting to leave his program or decline to be recruited by it or reneging on their verbal commitments. I mean, all of a sudden, he couldn't get any players.
Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr said this week that he would be willing to take a pay cut if the NBA shortened the basketball season. Maybe that's not news. Maybe we should wait until a team owner says that.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Steve Kerr has a lot of really good ideas, and he's a very decent and evolved human being, but he's not writing the checks. I think a shorter NBA schedule, of course, I think a shorter everything schedule.
Me too.
Would be better, but I mean, I certainly think the NBA shouldn't be ending in July, and that goes double, by the way, for the National Hockey League.
Charlie, Dwight Clark, who retired in 1987 after an excellent nine-year career with the San Francisco 49ers, announced this week that he has amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Asked if he thought playing football caused the ALS, Clark said, quote, I certainly suspect it did. This kind of news is no longer surprising. It doesn't become any less sad for that.
No, not only that, but it was revealed this week that Gale Sayers, who was probably one of the most elegant and beautiful athletes in his prime of any that I've ever seen, is suffering from dementia, which is undoubtedly football-induced. You know, again, I thought that the real action would start when beloved players started falling to this stuff. Mm-hmm. There's still a long way to go. And when you have that trial going on out in Minnesota involving hockey, where they're trying to use phony tobacco-ish science to debunk the concussion protocols, there's a massively long way to go by the sports establishment before they really come to grips with this.
Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback who took a knee during the playing of the national anthem last season to draw attention to violence against black citizens, has donated $50,000 to Meals on Wheels. That's $50,000 more than the program gets from the federal government under the current administration's budget, ironically enough. Any other ways in which the quarterback's circumstances intersect with those of the president?
Well, basically, he's in kind of an internal exile. He can't get a job in the NFL for reasons that are obvious but seem to elude the fair-minded. He's also given food in Somalia. He's doing quite a lot of charity work. And you would think, to name one pathetic operation, the Cleveland Browns might want to give him a look as a quarterback.
In a biopic due out later this year, we're going to see a dramatization of one of the most consequential tennis matches of all time, even though the tennis itself was not particularly impressive. Steve Carell will play Bobby Riggs, and Emma Stone will play Billie Jean King in Battle of the Sexes. So, shall I save you a seat?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I like both of the actors, and Steve Carell is scary looking as Bobby Riggs.
He is.
He
looks
just
like
Bobby
Riggs. They had to wait until he could really look like an old Bobby Riggs.
Well, not just that, but he had to wait and grow them 1970s sideburns.
If you had told me that at the Wuxi International Marathon in China, a runner from Bahrain would overtake the two Ethiopians who'd been ahead of him throughout the race, I would have doubted it. But how did that happen?
Well, the two runners in front of him missed a turn and went to the wrong finish line. The organizing committee, by the way, dismissed any criticism and said that this course was perfectly up to standard if you don't count the fact that it apparently had two finish lines.
And finally, Charlie, former Olympic figure skater Nancy Kerrigan is performing on this season's Dancing with the Stars, and she recently got some encouragement from former U.S. Olympic teammate Christy Yamaguchi, who tweeted at Kerrigan, "Break a leg." Did she really do that?
Yeah, you know, you say that to somebody who's going out to perform. It's a very big old theatrical tradition.
Yeah.
I think Christy might have, like, wanted to think that one over before she hit send. Or tweet, because as we know, and we don't need to go into the whole thing again, that phrase has a certain resonance with Ms. Kerrigan that it doesn't have with a lot of people.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce in Sports Illustrated from time to time, and of course he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.